Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru, your one-stop shop for no-nonsense natural solutions for chronic knee pain. My name is Bill Paravano, and today's guest is a married mother of three active boys ranging in age from 3 to 16. Please make a mental note of this. She's a certified CrossFit trainer at NorCal Strength and Conditioning in Chico, California, which was voted one of the top 30 gyms in America by Men's Health magazine. She is also the author of the book Everyday Paleo, which is already a national bestseller and on its way to becoming a New York Times bestseller. In addition, she does weekly podcasts and maintains a blog on her website, everydaypaleo.com. It's my pleasure to welcome Sarah Fragoso.
Thank you so much, Bill. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the call. And why I was really excited about bringing you on is because you are a married mother of three boys ranging in age from 3 to 16. And the emphasis for this call is to help people who are experiencing chronic knee pain and how changes in their diet can play a huge role in how their knees recover from their experience of knee pain and how diet plays such a huge role. And consequently, many things that I hear is I don't have time. I don't have time to change my diet. And who would be better than a married mother of three boys and all of the things that you do to be able to share how you approach it?
Sure. Yeah, time is definitely not high on my list of things that I have available, but we definitely have learned how to make health our priority, and it's amazing for me just how I've noticed that since I've become healthier over the last few years, how having just increased energy kind of eliminates the whole, oh, I don't have enough time factor, and prioritizing my life a little differently so that health is our focus rather than other things that we thought prior to changing our way of eating were more important. And so it's really just about restructuring, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. So thanks for bringing that up, though. It's a good point.
Sure. And could you just share like a brief overview of where you were in your life before you were introduced to this different way of eating?
Oh, sure. I think I felt very much like the average mom of three, except for that it kind of got to the point where the health issues that I was experiencing were beginning to really debilitate my ability to be that mom that I wanted to be. And soon after the birth of my third child, I was faced with all like these kind of like low-grade yet chronic health problems that, like I said, were keeping me from really living my life to its fullest. And some of those, just briefly, I had really horrible inflammation in my legs, which I found out later was due to the fact that my kidneys really weren't working that well, so painful that it was hard for me to exercise, hard for me to even, like, I would try to go get a massage. I was thinking it was, like, just muscle pain or joint aches, and I couldn't even really have anyone touch my legs. It was really, really bad. And then just experiencing, like, weight gain that I couldn't lose even, you know, after trying different diets and different exercise methodologies, and chronic headaches, depression, the list goes on and on. And so I was really just in a place where I was willing to try anything no matter how drastic it sounded at the time. So that's where I was prior to paleo.
Uh-huh. And in the diet that we are talking about, or the approach to eating, is the paleo diet, what is referred to the paleo diet. And before we get into exactly what the paleo diet is, I think it's a big piece is why would someone with chronic knee pain want to listen to what we're talking about today?
Well, I think it's important to realize that sometimes we suffer from different illnesses or pain or joint or mobility issues, and we don't quite connect the dots that actually can be partially or a more than partially related to nutrition. And it's really kind of a whole body approach when looking at recovering from whatever your illness might be or injury might be, and definitely focusing on nutrition is a huge component, and we'll probably talk more later about inflammation, but when our body is inflamed, that affects so many things like joint health or mobility, and by getting that inflammation under control through diet, that really is a huge step in the right direction for recovery, no matter what it might be that you're dealing with health-wise.
And I think it's a really big piece that you're talking about as far as inflammation, and the dots that aren't being connected is that someone who has knee pain and their joint is swelling up, they think of the inflammation just being isolated in their knee joint, that's where it only is. And I believe from the research that I've done is that there's foods we can eat that actually create inflammation in our guts that prevent our body from reducing the inflammation in the knee as well.
Yes, that's very true. And we all have some level of inflammation in our bodies, and some of that is good, and some of that we want, but unfortunately our modern-day diet has increased this level of inflammation, which does start in the gut when the gut is irritated. And then that is like this underlying precursor to so many health issues, from things like joint pain or knee pain to more serious illnesses like cancer, heart disease, diabetes. So it's really now shown that inflammation, like I said, it's really the precursor to so many health problems that we're faced with, really all modern-day illnesses and disease, including something that could be knee pain or joint pain.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what is paleo in this method of eating that we're talking about. Could you explain what that is?
Sure. So to make it simple, it's really based on how our hunter-gatherer ancestors used to eat prior to the introduction of agriculture and processed foods, which tend to be the predominant food source for our modern society. It's foods that have been highly processed. And just looking back without, you know, being very scientific, I'm definitely not I don't have my lab coat on. I'm a mom, and I'm, you know, have three kids, and I my approach is very realistic and without a lot of, you know, looking at all the science behind it, which is really important. But if we just look back at our lives since the introduction of agriculture, there's been a significant increase in the modern-day illnesses we were just talking about, like cancer and heart disease and type 2 diabetes and inflammatory issues, joint pain, and everything from depression to, like, what we're talking about today, you know, knee pain, obviously. So eating paleo really just avoids foods that cause these problems, and those foods include grains, dairy, vegetable oils, legumes. So by cutting those foods out and focusing on foods that have not been processed and eating a diet that's primarily consisting of meat, vegetables, fruits, and healthy fats like avocado, olive oil, and coconut products, we get rid of those foods that cause inflammation. And subsequently, we've noticed that people become much, much healthier due to that. So that's paleo in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. And so share how you got involved in the whole paleo approach to eating.
Well, I mentioned the health issues that I was obviously experiencing several years ago. And before that, I had actually was lucky enough to meet Rob Wolf, who is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Paleo Solution, and we both live in Chico, California, and I met him at a Relay for Life event, which I was attending, which was unfortunately just a couple of months after I lost my mom to breast cancer. So I was there kind of just wandering around and dealing with my grief, and I met Rob and his then-girlfriend, and we just started chatting, and they were telling me about this fitness facility that they own, and we had a connection because my husband was a chiropractor, and they were looking for someone to refer to. So over the course of a couple of years, we got to know them, and they were telling us about, you know, they just were so healthy and filled with vitality, and they were telling us about how they eat, and, you know, as a mom, I was just thinking, oh, gosh, this is just crazy. There's no way I could ever not have cereal in the morning for the kids, and how could I ever make this happen? But when I got to the point where I was really sick, I was so happy to have someone to go to for help, essentially. So I started eating this way, and then as I became healthier, then introduced eating paleo to my own family and then noticed several health benefits and changes in my kids' health and my husband's health. So it was just like this whole process where it evolved into where now our whole family is living this lifestyle and really reaping the benefits of it.
Mm. And that is, it's always very inspiring when you meet that type of person that has such an impact in your life, as well as someone who can offer you an approach to eating that made such a change. What were some of the significant changes that you saw both in yourself as well as in your children, your family, when you began eating differently?
Sure. Well, for me, it was the first thing I noticed was my mental clarity improved. And I don't know if you have children, Bill, or people who do have children out there. It's kind of something that we just accept. We call it like mommy brain, or, you know, we wake up in the morning and we're just feeling foggy and I can't remember the dog's name or what I'm supposed to do next. And I just remember first feeling like I had a handle on my day and all my life, and my energy started to improve. And then the inflammation in my legs subsided, and all the, you know, little aches and pains that I was experiencing started to go away. And this was all within just like a month of starting to eat this way. And then with my kids, like my middle son, Jaden, he, when he was little, from day one, from birth, he had diaper rash. It was just horrible. And as he became a toddler and then was potty trained, that turned into eczema right around his little tummy area. And that was just something that we dealt with, and we thought that it was like, okay, well, some kids have eczema and that's just how it is, but it was just painful and it would flare up and, you know, we'd try everything and nothing worked. And that cleared up again, like I said, almost within 3 weeks it was gone. And just other little things like less common colds that we experienced in the house, and my kids, even their behavior improved. They weren't experiencing, you know, these spikes in their blood sugar and then temper tantrums resulting from that when they crashed. So just a lot of little things that we didn't really, you know, attribute to our diet until after we started eating healthier, and then we noticed these changes.
Yeah, and I believe that's a perfect example of when we first started talking today, when you were saying connecting the dots. You don't necessarily connect the dots. And when I work with clients with knee pain, one of the biggest things that I have found, it's not difficult to physically get them out of knee pain. What ends up getting them is their mental state and how they mentally will go back into those old patterns, that depression that kind of sets in. And what a huge role that food plays in mentally how we view things.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, Sarah. Someone who's eaten their entire life, they've had cereal for breakfast, they've had bread with their sandwiches, they've had, they live in a situation where there's lots of breads and cakes and cookies and muffins and things like that. Why would someone want to change their diet so drastically?
Just for all the reasons that we just talked about, because without connecting those dots, it's hard to see that, okay, I've eaten this way my whole life. How could this possibly be making me sick? But until people actually change and start seeing the results, it really is hard to connect the two, because it's something that we're used to. It's comfort, it's family, it's tradition, it could be religion, it could be cultural, but it's so important if we really want to obtain true health and wellness to be able to take a step backwards and connect those dots and see that, okay, obviously something isn't working. Obviously I'm not fully recovered, or I'm feeling a little bit better but not as good as I want to feel. And what we put into our bodies absolutely affects how we feel mentally, physically, all of that. So you really do have to want to change in order to change. So It sounds like a very drastic change, and I was there. I completely understand. I was like, oh, there's no way in heck I can do this. But when you get to a point where you don't feel like you have any other options, that was when I was really ready. And now that I've been eating this way for several years, it's not anything that I miss, because feeling good is so much better than eating bread. And it becomes normal. It becomes how you live, and it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. So at first, it definitely feels like a drastic change, but after people start to feel so much better, like I said, it just becomes life and not a diet. It's just how we're intended to eat, how we're intended to live.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've worked with, my family is Italian. And I actually have clients that I've worked with in Italy as well. So from a cultural perspective, there's that on Sunday you have the big plate of pasta and you have the loaf of Italian bread. And I remember even from a very young boy that I would just feel that big bulge in my gut after you got away from the table, where you just feel tired and listless. And it was just attributed, like, that's just the normal way you feel after you eat that. And it wasn't until I've read your book and I've read Rob's book as well, where it's like, well, that's just not the way it's supposed to feel. That is actually my intestines swelling up and inflaming because of the irritation the grains have on my intestines.
So glad that you... Go ahead.
What was that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that is another thing that so many people notice, and I did as well. Like you said, you think that that's just a normal feeling that you're supposed to have after you eat. And now, not having any sort of bloating or stomach discomfort after eating is so wonderful, and I'm so used to that. If I do eat something that makes me feel that way, it's so much worse than it used to be, because I realized, oh my gosh, this is really not how you're supposed to feel after you eat. So it's a big eye-opener for sure. That's a very good example that you gave.
And I also have worked with clients, and I know I've had this experience with myself as well. There's like, well, that's wheat. Maybe I'll just cut out products that have gluten, and I'll go gluten-free. Which you hear a lot now when you go into health food stores. Can you speak on that as well? Because I know even in my own personal experience, even when I cut out just the gluten products and thinking it was a gluten intolerance, I still felt that kind of full bloaty kind of feeling when I was eating grains that didn't contain gluten.
Yeah, and so in my experience with working with people, definitely we've seen folks who've had health improvement just by cutting out the gluten, but not until they've really stuck to a fairly strict paleo diet, which means eliminating all grains, have they really seen like true or complete improvement in their health. And the reason is all grains, although gluten seems to be like the one property in you know, wheat or in a few other grains that really irritates the gut lining, all grains have that same ability to do the same exact thing. And over time, especially if you're continuing to eat these foods, it just really doesn't give your body a chance to fully heal. And so by eliminating those grains, all of them, it does give your gut a chance to truly heal, and then you're able to better absorb your nutrients, and it just comes full circle, and everything just starts to function better. It's great when people at least cut out the gluten. That's a step in the right direction, but we definitely see improvement overall when people cut out all grains.
Yeah, in my personal experience, I have had the most significant difference when I completely eliminated everything. It was like someone flipped on a switch, and how significant my body felt. It was very, very impressive, actually.
Yeah, same here, absolutely.
And this begs the question, you're talking about eating meats and vegetables and fruits, And of course,
right.
Consequently, you come up against the person who is a vegan or a vegetarian in their approach
right.
to eating. Well, what is your take? What is your approach on that?
Well, I actually was a vegetarian for a few years. My mom experimented with being a vegetarian as we were growing up, and for her it was more health-related. She thought that this might be a way to resolve some of her health issues, but the reality is we all became pretty unhealthy eating that way, and I completely understand that for some people it might be a moral or ethic issue or even a religion or cultural issue, but in all honesty, in my experience, what I've seen is that people who do use animal sources for their protein and eliminate grains, they are healthier. So it's worth looking at what you're faced with as far as your health is concerned and what might be worth changing in order to achieve optimal health. I've worked with clients who are like, I'm so sorry, but there's absolutely no way that I will ever be able to eat animal products. So there are ways that people can try and work around that. You know, you can eliminate the grains at least and try to get as much protein as you can. But again, sources like soy that might have protein also have other issues that can cause health problems as well. So what I try to encourage people is just to do their research, have an open mind. You know, there's so many ways that we can now eat meat that has been humanely raised without antibiotics and hormones and grass-fed meat that's available. And then, of course, seafood, wild-caught seafood. You can get really good protein from eggs. So, again, it's one of those things where, obviously, I personally can't change anyone's viewpoint, but I urge people to really look at the research and what's happening with their own health and then try to make an educated decision on why they should maybe consider a paleo diet versus a vegan or vegetarian diet.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you're talking about, and I think a lot of the arguments for a vegetarian or veganism is for ethical reasons, and I
right.
completely agree with that, the way
right.
corporate farms and commercial way of raising livestock is horrible, and the conditions that the animals
yeah.
are treated are horrible. However, connecting with your local economy, I believe there is localharvest.org is one of
yes.
the more popular websites that you can find. You could find local farmers that humanely raise and grass-fed animals.
Right. And eatwild.com is another good source for that as well.
Eatwild.com. Okay.
Yes.
So when you first started bringing your family on board, how did that go?
Well, it went better than I expected. I'll tell you that right now. It's really scary as a mom to think, oh, my goodness, you know, my kids are, and they might starve if I take away their cereal in the morning and their pancakes or their turkey sandwiches at lunch. And some families have better luck kind of easing their family into a paleo diet. I tend to kind of be an all-or-nothing kind of person, so I pretty much approached it how I approached it with myself, and I cleared out all the foods in my house that I didn't want my family to eat. But then I really put the emphasis on fun, and that was just kind of an intuitive thing that I decided to do because my kids all like to be in the kitchen with me anyway. So I really got them excited about the new foods that we were trying and let them help me create the food that we were making and let them help me choose what we were going to have based on the choices that we had in our home. So do you want to make a frittata for breakfast or an omelet or just scrambled eggs? And then they could at least have that power of choice, which kids love to be able to choose and feel like they're in control. And it was bumpy at times, and especially with my older son who was a little more aware of what was going on. He definitely had some questions, but we just talked openly and honestly with our kids and without trying to scare them or freak them out, just, you know, let them know, hey, you know, this is what we've discovered, that If we eat these types of foods, we are healthier. And if we don't, we tend to not be as healthy. So let's, you know, do this as a family and let's be healthy together. And just getting them excited about being on board and part of the journey rather than focusing on, you can't have your cereal anymore, making it a negative experience. And it worked. And it was definitely, it took some time before everyone was used to this way of eating. But now my kids, they notice when they eat something that doesn't make them feel good. And then we talk about it. And they tend to now, after, like I said, eating this way for several years, they make really good decisions even outside of the home without me prompting them to or asking them to, because they realize also that they feel better eating this way. So it's a whole process, but definitely a doable one.
Mm. And I really like your approach that it's not, you're not telling them what they can't do or what they can't have.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on
right.
the benefits, the good part. And like the glass is always half full for you. And
right.
I think that is such a really balanced, healthy approach to making changes in your life.
Sure.
And too many times I we're focusing on what we're going to miss out on, what we can't have, and share what you would like to add for that as well.
Well, yeah, and I think just kind of putting the positive spin on things is important just for our mental health, too, because a lot of times what holds people back, and it's hard for some folks to hear, but it's quite simply their attitude. So sometimes just deciding, okay, I'm going to face this, and I'm going to face it with a positive outlook, and just make that choice to do it. Although it sounds very simple, it really is. And often that is just kind of what people need to be pushed to the next step and push in the right direction, is just to simply change their outlook and their point of view and decide, like I said, that this is going to be a positive, fun experience rather than, oh, no, another task I have to take on or more work that I have to do or something hard that I'm faced with. And just making that simple change really can help. And I try and instill that in my children as well. It's, you know, we all have choices that we can make, and we can choose to enjoy the process or fight it the entire way. It's really up to you. And changing that outlook is huge for sure.
I had a perfect example. I was in a class one time, and they had talked about how powerful our mind is. And our mind doesn't understand the negative, meaning the example that was used was, well, don't think about a pink elephant.
Right.
Don't think about a pink elephant. And the only thing you can think about is the pink elephant, even though you said don't think about it. And that is what I hear you saying when you're talking about, you're not focusing on the fact that you can't eat these things. You're focusing on what is good for you and what's healthy. So your brain never attaches to that negative piece that is keeping you from changing.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about some bigger picture things. What about the food pyramid, the USDA food pyramid? It says to eat grains. Isn't it not healthy to not eat grains? You know, how could we – it's so counterintuitive to what we've been taught our entire life.
Right. So, you know, what's interesting is I've actually talked to a dietitian before who's very much in support of the food pyramid, and I've asked that person, what really do we get from grains that I can't get from any other food source? And I actually had her stumped, and it was not like I didn't feel like, oh, look at me, ha, ha, ha. It was more like, okay, this person who is, you know, dedicated their life to learning about nutrition and really doesn't agree with cutting out grains from your diet has just basically told me that it's true. There's really nothing that we can't get from grains that we can't get from other food sources like meat and vegetables and healthy fats. And the reality is that what we've already talked about, that grains are a well-proven gut irritant that inhibit nutrient absorption, that lead to chronic problems like inflammation. And when you have, when your gut is irritated, that basically, part of that is that you can't adequately absorb the nutrients that you might be getting not only from the grains but from other foods that you're eating as well. So this is part of the problem why we're seeing a lot of people with calcium deficiencies and other vitamin deficiencies, is because although they might be eating a varied diet that have all those nutrients in the foods that they're eating, they're unable to actually utilize those nutrients or absorb them. So by removing the grains, you remove that gut irritant factor, and then you can eat, like I said, a diet rich with vegetables and meat and fruit, and you're still getting all those nutrients that you need at a more viable source, and you're able to actually absorb those nutrients. So it's really a win-win situation when you look at it that way.
Yeah. And what I'm really enjoying is the science that backs this up. This is not just like you're pulling this in air. This is, there's a team of scientists, I believe Dr. Lauren Cordain and his team of scientists, that are actually doing in-depth research on all of this and how beneficial this diet is.
Right. Absolutely, for sure, which is great to actually be able to point people to those resources and say, look, like you said, it's not just this mom in her kitchen with her three kids telling you not to eat your sandwiches anymore. It's really science-based at this point, as you know, modern-day illnesses are continuing to increase based on the diet that our food pyramid suggests that we eat. Obviously, something isn't working. So there are people who are a whole lot smarter than me, fortunately, out there doing the research that's backing up the work that I'm doing. So it's great to see, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect piece that you're bringing up, that obviously it's like we have this food pyramid in place that only went into effect in 1992. It isn't like this has been for ages that we've been following this, and people continue to get sicker. People get continue to have more problems with their health. So it's kind of like, you know, this big flashing neon sign that is going, well, this isn't working, yet it's how we were raised. So by questioning that, I think we can really change the course of how we're going to live our life. And for someone who's experiencing chronic knee pain, that could make it be a huge change in how they're able to spend time with their family. Because a person with knee pain generally can't get off the couch. They can't walk. So I think that it's definitely something to take into consideration. So
yes,
Sarah, one more piece. It costs more money. Isn't this going to cost more money?
You know, people, that is such a huge question, Bill, and I get that from people all the time, because, you know, intuitively we all think, oh my gosh, eating grass-fed meat and organic vegetables and you know, this is really going to just break the bank and it's a budget cruncher. And what I think people don't realize is once you start eating this way, you're also cutting out a lot of stuff that we used to rely on. And before eating paleo, we would still buy meat, we'd still buy vegetables, but we would also buy a lot of processed food and bread and boxed, packaged food items. And then we'd also end up hitting the local coffee shop for our lattes and our mochas, and then being lazy at night or too tired or too stressed out or not feeling well and ending up hitting the drive-thru and then wasting the food that I actually bought to try to cook, and getting takeout or, you know, so really cutting out all of those extra expenses that we don't really take into account rather than just looking at our grocery bill, we have ended up saving a tremendous amount of money just by not having those treats or not eating out as often and really actually eating the food that's in a refrigerator. And then, you know, especially with a large family, I have found ways to kind of stretch our food out. I'll always make a large amount of food for dinner so that we'll ultimately have leftovers for lunch the next day, so that, you know, helps my husband avoid going out to eat, and I'll pack his lunch, or he'll pack his lunch, or he'll come home. Same with the kids. We pack their lunches for school, so we're not buying school lunches anymore, and that saves on money. And so there's several things that you can do, and finding local resources. Shopping locally is huge. We are lucky enough to live in an area where we have several farmers markets throughout the week, and I can go with a $20 bill and buy enough vegetables to feed my family for a week. And also, on that website that you mentioned earlier, localharvest.org, you can find what's called a CSA, or it's a farm share cooperative, essentially, where you pay a monthly fee, and this is how it works with my CSA. And I go to the farm every week, and I pick up a huge box of vegetables that sometimes I have to give some of it away. It's so abundant. And I have a family of five, and we eat a lot of vegetables. So just kind of going to your local resources, learning how to make, you know, larger meals and stretching those meals out, relying on leftovers. We have just made it kind of like a family pack that we don't eat out at all during the week. That saves a ton of money. So there's definitely ways to eat healthy on a budget.
And Sarah, I do want to point out that's just on the front end. That is the cost you're saving on the front end. As far as on the back end, the need for going to the drugstore to get medicine for the issues that you no longer have anymore. That's a saving there. Your trips to the hospital, you don't feel as bad anymore. You're not going to have a lot of the issues that people would normally spend on doctor's appointments or physical therapy and things like that, because they're not going to have those types of issues.
Absolutely, and that is such a good point to bring up. It's like over the long term, the amount of money that you will save just by having good health is huge in comparison to what maybe a pound of grass-fed meat might cost you in like you said, up front. So it's a definite huge cost benefit over the long term just for your health.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, would you share what a typical day looks like? What does a breakfast, lunch, and dinner look like for you and your family?
Okay, no problem. So for breakfast, you know, we actually really love eggs, so we tend to kind of turn to eggs for breakfast, but I make this dish. It's called an egg cupcake, and I don't know about you, but I love eating cupcakes in the morning, but these aren't the typical cupcake. It's like a little mini frittata or quiche, but without the crust. And I mix up eggs with different chopped vegetables, and then I bake them in little muffin tins. And they're really fun and easy and portable, so I can make a big batch of those on the weekend, and then we can just have them throughout the week. So, you know, when the kids are in school or when we're really busy, I don't even have to make breakfast in the morning. They're already ready to go. I also make frittatas, which we all enjoy, and you can make those several different ways. So that, again, is kind of like a large crustless quiche, and you kind of slice it up like a pizza. And often I'll make one large enough that I'll have it for lunch as well. And even sometimes we have leftovers from dinner for breakfast, and especially if we're in a hurry or it just is something that sounds good. And it's we've kind of learned to look outside of the box as far as like what breakfast, lunch, and dinner is supposed to look like. And food tastes good any time of the day. It doesn't necessarily have to look like breakfast. So when in a pinch, leftovers are a great thing to have for breakfast. And for lunch, same thing. We often have leftovers from dinner. I sound kind of like a broken record here, but it's just what works for us. It's also really easy for us to have like a chicken salad or a quick stir fry, or if we're going somewhere, I'll, you know, pack a chicken salad up in Tupperware or salmon or, you know, anything that's easy and fast. And dinner, I use my slow cooker a lot just because it's easy and I don't have a lot of time to spend in the kitchen. So I'll put, you know, a large roast or a whole chicken into the slow cooker with some vegetables. And then at the end of the day, it's prepared and ready to go and there's not a lot of cleanup. I like to roast vegetables in the oven. In the summer, we use our grill a lot, and so we'll grill salmon or steak or fish and grill our vegetables, too, and have a big salad. So it's not boring. It's not tasteless. Our food tastes really good, which is why I dedicated a whole book to food almost, just to kind of show people, you know, our kids love what we eat. They don't sit down and say, this doesn't taste good or this is boring, and there's a lot of variety in our diet. So that's kind of what a typical day of eating looks like for us.
Mm-hmm. And of course, I know we haven't really talked about the book all that much, your book Everyday Paleo. However, uh-huh. you have your website as well that has tons of recipes. I know I'm personally, my wife and I have tried recipes from your website, and we just love it. And that is everydaypaleo.com.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you guys have been enjoying them.
Yeah, we had the soup with the Thai chicken soup.
Uh-huh.
I believe we mixed it all together. The curry in there, it was pretty amazing, and it was really quick.
Cool.
It didn't take a
yes.
whole lot of time either.
Yes.
One more thing. You know, I've had clients who said my doctor, my nutritionist said eating all that meat is not good for me. And I know there's a huge difference in the quality content of conventional meats as far as grass-fed meats. And could you
right.
touch on that just a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So conventionally farmed meat, that's basically what you buy when you go to your standard grocery store. Those animals have been fed grains, typically. And that is kind of like the underlying issue with conventionally farmed meat is even if we cut grain out of our diet, if we're eating meat that's been fed grain, then we're still, unfortunately, getting those inflammatory factors into our diet. Now, I don't want this to, like, deter people from, well, I can't get grass-fed meat, so I'm not going to, therefore, going to even try this diet. Obviously, grass-fed meat, wild-caught fish and pasture-raised pigs and chicken, it's optimal. You'll receive the omega-3 benefits from eating those types of animal products. But the reality is you can eat conventionally farmed meat if that's all that's available to you, if you stick to the leaner cuts of meat, because the unhealthy components of that meat are typically found in the fattier pieces of the meat, where in grass-fed meat, the fattier, it's not as fatty anyway, but the fat in grass-fed meat is actually pretty beneficial to our health, or very beneficial to our health, I should say. But as far as like your doctor and nutritionist saying eating all that meat is not good for you, it's not necessarily a high-protein diet. It is, but it's not a low-carb diet either, because vegetables and fruit, those are carbohydrate sources, and you should be eating a plethora of vegetables on this diet, absolutely. And there's also a really neat network of physicians out there called the Paleo Physicians Network, where you can go online and find a doctor in your area who understands the science behind eating paleo and why it's the optimal way of eating. And they can sit down and talk with you about, look, this is the science behind eating this way. This is why we support this. And I'm a medical doctor or a chiropractor. Or, you know, there's several different types of physicians included in this network. So for people who are concerned about that and want to find a doctor who can help educate them and who is on board with eating paleo, I urge you to check out the Paleo Physicians Network online.
Now, is that paleophysiciansnetwork.com?
Yes, let me just confirm that real quick, but I believe so. Let me see here. Yes, it's just paleophysiciansnetwork.com is correct.
Yes, physician with an S. Cool.
Yes.
And what about the dreaded elimination of the carbs? And that shaky, kind of headachey feeling. I know that those first couple weeks can be a little bit iffy, eliminating the grains
right.
from the diet.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point to bring up. I know for me, that first couple of weeks was kind of rough, and I really attributed it to the fact that it was almost like I was having withdrawals from a drug. It was really kind of that intense for me. And some people don't experience that. I think it depends on how healthy or unhealthy you might be going into making this change. But I remember sitting on my couch at night literally crying into my cereal bowl, because I used to be a nighttime cereal bowl or cereal snacker. So it was definitely a mental thing as well as an actual physical reaction where I felt kind of lethargic or shaky or sad or cry at the drop of a hat. And I just felt overall just kind of yucky. And then it was almost like an overnight feeling of relief when I got through those carb withdrawals and I woke up one morning and, like I said, literally felt like a new person, had this amazing mental clarity, had so much energy. The aches and pains started to disappear. So I urge people just to get through those first few weeks because it does get better. And a big way to be successful at that is to not have food in your house that you're going to go to at 10 o'clock at night when all you can think about is cookies. And Rob Wolf says it best. We don't lay in bed at night dreaming about pork loin and artichokes. We're thinking about chocolate chip cookies and ice cream when we're lying in bed at night craving those snacks. So if they're not in your house, you're much more likely to be successful. And then once people get through those withdrawals and those carb cravings, they actually tend to not really want them as much anymore, which sounds, unheard of, but it's true. Our taste buds start to change, and things that tasted sweet before taste sickeningly sweet, and fruit will curb that sweet craving like before a cookie might have. So it's just kind of getting through those first few weeks and knowing that it will be better and much, much better at the end of it.
Absolutely. And I've experienced the very same thing. There is that little bit of weeks, you start out and it's like, man, I'm eating really great and I feel really good. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what's going on? This feels
right.
A little strange. And if you hold that end vision that your body's going to feel so much better at the end. And what I'm referring to is the 30-day paleo challenge. It's a lot on the internet right now in terms of committing to being grain-free, dairy-free, legume-free for 30 days. Eliminating the sugars and processed foods for 30 days and see how you feel. And I think it's such a telling experiment, for lack of a better term, that you just try it. You're actually going to save money in that period of time and see how you feel on the other end.
Absolutely, and we really encourage people who maybe have some doubts or aren't sure, or it's hard for people to look at long-term and think, oh my goodness, I won't ever be able to eat, Aunt Gertrude's apple upside-down cake at Christmas again. So rather than having this overwhelming sense of my whole life is changing, we do encourage folks, just try eating this way for 30 days. And if you don't look, feel, and perform better at the end of those 30 days, then you can, tell us we're wrong or go back to how you were eating before. And I have not once had a person email me or call me or, comment on my blog and say, this didn't work out for me. It's typically, wow, you're right. Now I don't want to go back to eating how I used to because I feel so much better. Or if they do introduce grains or dairy or legumes back into their diet after those 30 days, they notice immediately how crummy it makes them feel. And so they go, okay, you're right. I've got to go back to how I was eating because it felt so much better to be healthy. So that 30-day initial commitment is huge, huge.
Mm. Yeah, I believe if anyone listening to this call and they're experiencing chronic knee pain and they can suck it up for that 30 days and get through it, their life is going to be completely different on the other side.
Absolutely.
Sarah, we got a special link for listeners on the call that I'll want to give in just a second, but I'd like to see, is there anything else you would like to add? Questions I didn't ask or may not have covered that is popping into your head that may be pertinent to someone who's experiencing chronic knee pain would want to know?
I think that you've been very thorough for sure. I think that maybe the one thing I would add is for people who are trying to change their diet and, are interested in adopting a paleo lifestyle and you're experiencing chronic knee pain, often people feel kind of alone in the journey, like, okay, you know, I want to eat this way, but other family members don't want to eat this way, or I don't have support from my friends. There is a huge online community of people to support you, and my website is a great place to start, everydaypaleo.com, my Facebook page as well. There's people who are always, you know, asking wonderful questions and communicating back and forth and helping each other out. And then, too, Rob Wolf's website is a great source, and he has an online forum where people can go to ask questions. So it's, I think it's really important just to kind of start building your own community when you make a change to your diet, so you have a place to go and people to ask questions to and resources at your fingertips, essentially. So I think that's the only thing I'd like to add. Otherwise, I think that we covered a lot of great information that will hopefully help folks.
Yep, and I'd like to also add you're on Twitter as well. And
I am.
You also have your podcast, Everyday Paleo, the Everyday Paleo podcast, which is on.
Right.
How would someone find the podcast?
And it's actually called Paleo Talk Podcast, and you can find it under Everyday Paleo as well. But I co-host my Paleo Talk podcast with Chrissy Gower of Growing Up Paleo and with Dane Sandoval, who is our producer, and also he runs my website as well. And you can find our podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher. And I believe that there's one other way that you can find it, but I'm not entirely sure what the name of that is now. But if you go to my website also, there are several links that will lead you to find my podcast. So,
well, let's put it this way.
We're not hard to
find. If they can't find it on iTunes and Stitcher, then they probably shouldn't be listening.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Out of luck. Exactly.
That's right. But I did set up a special link on my website as well, theknee painguru.com/everydaypaleo, that they will be able to access your information as well. And that is going to be available at the time of this, when this podcast is up and running on my site.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Sarah, it's been great. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been very enjoyable dialoguing with you about this, and I believe this information is going to help a ton of people.
Well, thank you so much. I've had a great time chatting with you as well, and I hope that it is helpful and beneficial to your listeners, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sarah. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks.
Okay.
All right. That was really fun, Bill. Thank you so much. I hope that's how it turned out, how you were envisioning.
Oh, that was perfect. That was perfect. I know I kind of jumped around a little bit on the page, and that's just kind of how it flowed. And I tried to kind of tie everything together. But it was phenomenal. I think I have the nutritionist piece. I had some clients that were like, you know, my nutritionist said this, and my doctor said that, and
right.
The way you presented it, that was awesome in terms of asking a nutritionist if you can have any, if you could get better nutrition other than eating grains, and that was perfect, so.
Oh, good. Yay. Right on.
Yeah.
Very cool. I hope that, like I said, that it all comes together, and I'm excited to hear it. And that was really fun. Thank you so much. Thank you. That was great.
You're welcome. And I know you have a lot of stuff going on. Were you able to connect with any of those people that I...
I have not emailed anyone back yet, and I'm so sorry about that. I totally intend to. I have just been literally buried, just completely overwhelmed with so many things that are going on. I'm traveling, oh my gosh, like four times in August. I'm leaving next weekend for an event that I have with the Navy SEALs, actually. And I've just been, like I said, trying to keep my head above water at this point. And I'm also, which is not super top secret, but mildly top secret, I'm starting to work on book number 2. So that's
been in
the works and trying to get all those details hammered out. So I absolutely will get back to those folks. And thank you so much for making those connections for me. And I hope I haven't left anyone hanging yet, but that's on my list of things to do. Absolutely.
No, it's fine. And however I can support you, please let me know. I'd be more than
thank
happy
you, and
to.
Same here. And yeah, let me know once your podcast is up and live, and I will definitely link it to my blog and to my Facebook page and send folks your way as well, because, you know, I'm sure that there are people everywhere that have knee pain, and they need to find you too. So whatever I can do to help as well, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Okay, Sarah, well, I will let you go, and have a great day.
Thank you. You too, Bill. Take care. I'm sure we'll be chatting soon. Stay in touch.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.